Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
Neil, thank you very much for that. Now, as we've been hearing, a verdict of death by medical misadventure has been returned at the inquest into the death of Aoife Johnston at University Hospital Limerick in December 2022. The 16-year-old girl from Shannon in County Clare was referred to the overcrowded ED with suspected sepsis, but died 2 days later after long delays in being seen by a doctor. University Hospital Limerick and the HSE have reiterated their apologies to the Johnston family for catastrophic failings and missed opportunities in her case. We're joined now by Marie McMahon, who's with the Midwest Hospital Campaign Group, and in a few minutes we'll be speaking to David Cullinan, Sinn Féin spokesperson on health, and to Cathal Crowe, Fianna Fáil TD for Clare, and you're all very welcome to the programme. Marie, it's been a very, very difficult and distressing time for the Johnston family. I know you've been campaigning for a very long time to improve UHL because of the loss of your husband, Tommy. We won't go into the specifics of the Aoife Johnston's case today, but more generally, what are your thoughts this evening?
I mean, obviously, you know, my thoughts have been for the last few days and have been since Aoife died with the Johnston family. There are many of us involved in the campaign who can empathise with what the Johnston family have gone through, not least my friend Melanie Cleary, who lost her daughter Eve in similar circumstances. You know, it's just been... it's been very sad. I mean, it's 16 months since Aoife lost her life. But as you say, we've been campaigning for many, many years. And there are many, many families that have been through similar experiences all around UHL. Everything that was said by the staff in throughout the inquest resonated with every single one of us or anybody that has been anywhere near UHL, the emergency department. So it's been a difficult day for many people, but finally it's out there and we can no longer have denials, you know, from the HSC, from UHL management, from our politicians, who've all told us that, you know, UHL is where we should be going. It's not fit for purpose. It has never been fit for purpose. You know, we've been ignored. We've been talked down to. We've been... in our campaigns, you know, we know what it's like. You know, anybody that has ever had to go in through the doors of UHL, go in with a certain amount of trepidation and a lot of fear, because, you know, so many people have walked that walk and so many people have had horrific experiences. And what is so frustrating is the failure of people to listen to the people who have the experience. They've now heard directly from the staff. So hopefully, between the staff and us, the patients and those people that have to walk that walk, they'll finally listen. And maybe we do have the solutions and maybe we do know what's best for us. And it's time they listen to us.
Today, it was requested by the Johnston family after the inquest, speaking to John Cook, that the decision to close the emergency departments in Clare and Tipperary and in Limerick, St. John's in Limerick, that they should be reversed. And I know that's something that you and other campaigners have also been looking for a long time. Do you think that will happen?
Well, I hope it will happen. I hope now that every single party, and I understand David Cullinan and Cathal Crowe are on after me, I hope they're listening. And I hope they've heard, you know, what the Johnston family have said, because not one of those parties support the reopening of any emergency department. Not one of them. We've begged and pleaded with them. Let me give you a number. Since January, beginning of January, there's been 71 days where people on trolleys in UHL emergency department are over 100 people on trolleys. Since Aoife Johnston died, the numbers have escalated. Over 40,000, and these are based on the INMO figures, over 40,000 people from Clare, Limerick and North Tipperary have spent time on trolleys. How can they justify that? How can they support that? And, you know, earlier I heard Peter Burke on, and he mentioned that there was 96 beds coming on board. 96 beds of half of those of which are replacing a Nightingale ward. So, you know, when you have government ministers who can't even get it wrong, you know, it's appalling. We have Stephen Donnelly, Niall Collins and other ministers also talking about trolley guard figures and telling us how the numbers on trolleys have dropped in the past year. This has been their mantra for the last few months. Well, let me tell you, the numbers have escalated. And now they have the proof. Now they're hearing it from the staff in there. And, you know, what appalling circumstances that they have to work in.
Marie, if you don't mind, you might stay with this. No, you're quite okay, and thank you for the points that you've made. You might stay with this because I will hear now from Cathal Crowe and David Cullinan. And Cathal, you're a TD, Fianna Fáil TD, representing the region. What do you think when you hear about the systemic failures, the missed opportunities, the communications breakdowns, the issues that have long been spoken about in relation to UHL?
Hi, Sarah and Marie. Thank you for having me on. I'm very happy to talk about the broader issues. And I know you said we should be concentrating on those today, but I do just today want to, again, express my deepest sympathies to Aoife Johnson's family. It's been a very, very, very tough few days for them. This is a girl, had everything gone right for her in the hospital environment. She should be turning 18 this year, looking forward to the best days of her life. And instead, she's not with her family anymore. And nothing from today or nothing in the days that follow will bring her back, unfortunately. And that's just the awful tragedy of this. But there are some systematic failures to deal with the wider point that Marie has long championed on many of those issues, which we in government and indeed those in health leadership roles have to reflect on. If I can say, Sarah, the much of what Marie has articulated there, the genesis of this was a 2009 political decision. My own party were in government. I wasn't a TD at the time, but notwithstanding that, it was a decision taken to create a centre of excellence in UHL, in inverted commas, that never materialised, largely due to, I would say, lack of funding, possibly lack of interest, the economic downturn. We never got our centre of excellence. And there wasn't capacity built up in the region. What we ended up with was the loss of 24 AE in Ennis, Nina and St. John's. And if I could just put some figures on that. At the moment, we have 500,000 people in the Midwest all going through one A&E department. Contrast that with Dublin, where we have 1 million people going through 8 accident emergency departments. So on crude mathematics, the people in Dublin have 4 times, you could say, more access to A&E than we have in the Midwest. And we cannot be second-class citizens anymore.
So do you think then, Cathal, do you agree with what Aoife Johnston's parents had to say today and what Maria said, which is that those EDs in Clare, Tipperary and St. John's need to be reopened?
Yes. Now, how that happens isn't straightforward. David and I, and David is on the call too, we met with UHL management, we met with Bernard Gloucester, and crucially, we met with INMO, the nursing union, and IMO, the doctors union, just a few weeks ago. They all said that at the moment, and these were frontline nurses and doctors, to magic wand, reopen those accident emergency departments would actually be dangerous from a healthcare point of view. Beyond accident emergency, that's really what the essential thing is here. We do not have neurology in Ennis. We do not have cardiac care. You need to build capacity behind the scenes. Following that meeting, I would have had discussions with Stephen Donnelly and Bernard Gloucester. There's a task force, if you like, looking at how do we build capacity in Ennis, Nina and St. John's. To be clear, we cannot just click fingers and reverse an awful decision. It was awful, but certainly I think we need to look at the capacity building, and I would be supportive of reopening an A&E department, but it will not happen immediately, and I think the nursing and medical unions were very clear on that today. We met them as well.
Okay, I want to bring in David Connor, but just to be clear on what you're saying there, that's your personal opinion, but my understanding is there's no policy or plan in place by this government to reopen those emergency departments.
The plan of government is to try to firstly address UHL, rightly so. It's a mess. It's an incessant mess. May I say there are good things happening there, but in accidents and emergency, a lot of patients have very, very, very poor, awful outcomes, and some people have lost their lives there. So we need to address that as the topmost priority. Building capacity beyond that is a priority for government. We had an announcement just from Stephen Donnelly that medical assessment units, which are somewhat akin, I say that loosely, they're not accident emergency departments, but they're somewhat akin if someone has ambulatory care, they will move to 24/7 capacity in Ennis, Nene and St. John's. They were working for 12 hours a day. They will now move to 24 hours a day. So there are improvements. Beds are being built, but none of this brings back...
Well, Dr. Marie's Gray husband. Said today that the 300 beds would be needed.
300 beds will be needed, and we have a 96-bed block. And Marie is correct. They don't all come fully into play because we have these Nightingale wards, but a decision was taken 2 weeks ago that I think it's going to be 75 of those now will become full on acute replacement beds. So, and they will be planning again this year advanced for another 96 bed block. But we are playing catch up on other regions of Ireland.
We certainly are, but even the plans then don't sound like they're going to be enough. And just to, again, David, thank you for your patience, but I just want one more question for yourself on this call on the idea of reopening the EDs. I mean, Simon Harris ruled that out in a visit to Limerick on expert clinical grounds. I think it's similar to what you've just referenced, that that it would be dangerous at this point. But he was ruling it out. He wasn't suggesting, you know, there's a plan to do it at any point. Will you be campaigning within government, or would you be like to see, for example, Fianna Fáil's manifesto in the next general election to say that this isn't going to be Fianna Fáil's plan?
Well, I'm unapologetically a black sheep on this. That may be the factual position here and now. And I think myself, David, and most people who were there that day would accept that. That is what the frontline medical professionals say. It's unsafe now. It cannot happen now. But nothing should remain static. Kennedy spoke about putting people on the moon, and it took him 3 years to figure out how to do it. We speak about uniting Ireland, and yet we don't know when we'll do it. And we have to talk a little bit further down the road for UHL. And all of the solutions do not lie solely in UHL. We have to build up capacity. Okay. We're the only region funneling all of our population through one A&E department.
All right.
And unfortunately,
thank you, Colin.
That does not work, and it often leads to disastrous outcomes.
David Cullinan, to yourself, and again, I appreciate your patience. I suppose your reaction to what you've been hearing from both Marie and Cathal and the future plans for UHL?
Well, I first of all, Sarah, want to offer my heartfelt and deepest sympathy to Aoife's family, her parents, Carol and James, and obviously all of her family and friends and her loved ones. It's a truly horrendous time for her. And I've met Marie a few times, and I've met with campaigners in the Midwest region. In fact, I've been in Limerick on four occasions over the last number of years. And we do have a very real crisis, as we know. It's not a new problem in Limerick. I've actually been on this programme, I would say, a number of times, even this year alone. We have chronic overcrowding, we have staff shortages, and then we have very dangerous overcrowding in the emergency departments. So a number of things need to be done right now, and I will get to the issue of Ennis and Enid, because I do think that needs to be addressed as well. I have consistently said that this government is falling behind the problem as opposed to staying ahead. We know from the HSE that there's 230 beds needed right now, and they have been needed for years. Even if every bed was delivered in the plan that was announced by Minister Donnelly, we would still be about 70 beds short. So I'm calling for 288 additional beds so that we have additional capacity to stay ahead of population growth and then have the capacity in University Hospital Limerick. It was spoken about by Cathal, the meeting we had in Limerick with senior management in the hospital and with Bernard Gloucester. Everybody in the hospital, all of the staff, but also the head of the HSE, made it clear that it is an absolute fact that there are patients who are deemed to be sick enough to be admitted to a bed in the hospital, but cannot be admitted because of a lack of beds. We also have at least 200 vital staff short in the hospital, including 20 ED nurses. We heard from all of the healthcare trade unions, and that was accepted by the HSE. And of course, what do we have in place? A dangerous recruitment embargo which needs to be lifted. So my first call on the Minister for Health is to put in place the additional beds, lift the dangerous recruitment embargo, hire the staff that's needed, and then initiate very urgently a short, sharp clinical and medical review of all services in the Midwest, including looking at opening and reopening emergency departments in Ennis and Enid.
And then we'll move on to that now in just one second, but just in terms of the funding and the staffing and the beds, you will have heard Simon Harris and Stephen Donnelly talking about this over recent days. Simon Harris saying staffing at the hospital has grown by over 1,100 since the end of December 2019, from over 2,800 staff to 3,900 staff, that UHL has more emergency department consultants than any other emergency department in Ireland.
But you also have to go back to the starting point here. We closed emergency departments in two hospitals. We promised the people of the Midwest a centre of excellence, a trauma centre that would be able to treat the patients right across the Midwest. So obviously, if you take capacity out of two hospitals, you will increase capacity in Limerick. The difficulty is we didn't get to the point where we can safely provide a service. You heard, as I heard, as people on this call and listeners would have heard, the testimony of medics who gave testimony at the inquest. And they were very, very clear and adamant. There are staff shortages. They're providing an unsafe service through no fault of their own. So we do need more staff. That's accepted. We do need more beds. That's accepted. And the family of Aoife and others, when they say we have to look at Enis and Nina,
okay,
I have to support that. I have to say that if I was the Minister for Health right now, I would be looking at a very quick, short, sharp review, looking at getting clinical advice. If it's safe to reopen those emergency departments, of course, that's what should be done.
And is that a change in position for Sinn Féin? Because my understanding was you were in favour of centralisation in UHL of the original plan and not reopening the EDs.
Well, I was asked this question on Frontline Programme on RTE in January of this year, and I gave the same response, that I would, if I was minister, initiate a very short, sharp clinical review. I'm not a doctor. I would have to seek medical advice. And if I received medical advice that it was clinically safe to open an emergency department, I would do it in a heartbeat. When
Simon
it was talked
Harris
about
is
earlier,
but the clinical advice is that it's not safe.
Well, I haven't been given that clinical advice. I haven't seen any medical or clinical advice. And the task force that Cattle talked about earlier was made very clear to us is not looking at the possibility of opening emergency departments. It's simply looking at other capacity across the three counties. So my point is, unless you have a proper formal review that's underpinned by clinical and medical advice, then we can't make any decision. That needs to be done urgently. I'm calling on the government, I'm calling on the Taoiseach, on the Minister to do it.
We had that report in December that is circulating. It's been commented on many times in the Dáil. And unfortunately, it speaks of what David and I were briefed on just 3 weeks ago. It speaks to the fact that in its current, and I underline current, in its current configuration, it is not safe, in the belief of medical experts and frontline staff, to reopen A&E in Enis, Nina or St John's. And it's for that reason I think we need to double down on what are those safety issues. The safety issues are, let's be very clear, it's that going through the double doors of A&E is one thing. It's what happens once you've been triaged, seen to by a medic. Then you need to go into a ward environment. We do not have those kind of specialised wards. And I think one thing we should be looking at, and I think it has worked in hospitals like Port Yunkala and Port Laois and Mullingar, is that they're teaching hospitals. So you have, of course, you have acute care, but you have expertise on site. Why? Because there's third level education being provided there. You
okay.
have better football.
So what is the
expertise.
Plan here? I want to try and get some sort of semblance of both of your positions, because again, we're in a general election year. So what are you going to be saying to the electorate? I'll start with yourself, David Cullen. And what is Sinn Féin going to be saying to the electorate of the Midwest region about what Sinn Féin would do in government with UHL and with the surrounding emergency departments? What's the plan?
Well, in fact, on Friday of next week, I'll be launching that plan with my colleague Maurice Quinlivan in Limerick. We will clearly set out that the 288 beds that I've talked about needs to be delivered urgently. I'm calling on the government, and our plan will call for a lifting of the recruitment embargo. We have to look at investing in alternative care pathways
okay,
in the
EDs?
Community. And then in the EDs, a short, sharp clinical review. And I won't be found wanting. If
so
I get medical...
You're not committing
if I get,
to it at the moment. You're not committing to reopening those EDs. You're going to... All you're committing to is a review.
No, if I get clinical and medical advice that it's safe to do so, because I think anybody listening to the programme will not want to solve one problem that's unsafe by having another solution that's not safe. If it is deemed to be safe to do so, I will do it in a heartbeat.
My understanding of what Cathal is saying is that there is a review circulating, that it said that it's not safe to do so at the moment, that it would require, probably from what I'm hearing, a plan to make it safe to do so.
Well,
so
Sarah,
you're not going
to get the answer saying
that it's safe to do so right
yes,
now.
But Sarah, with respect, I was at the same meeting as Cathal was, and it was made very clear to us by the head of the HSE that the person who is tasked with doing a review of services in the Midwest is a new executive regional officer for the Midwest region, and that it would not look at reopening emergency departments. So that's what we were told. I haven't seen any evidence one way or the other whether it's safe. You asked me what I would do. If I was minister today or after the next election, I would seek medical advice, and if the medical advice is it's safe to do so, I will do it in a heartbeat, because whatever is needed needs to be done.
Cathal, I'm sorry, now briefly to yourself, but what is Fianna Fáil going to be saying to the people of the Midwest for your plan for the emergency departments?
In answering this, I'm very conscious we've Marie on the line, and we've probably for Johnson's family. Nothing David or I are saying here is going to, you know, change the tragedies they've faced. There has been a huge amount of money spent in UHL, the 19% budget increase since 2020, a lot more staff have brought in. but it's beds, 96 being built, another 96 going to planning, but we're hearing loud and clear it needs to get to 300. Now, this is UHL
specific.
And
on the EDs,
Cathal,
briefly, if you don't mind.
On the EDs, exactly as I said, I went to Minister Donnelly and Bernard Gloucester. That review has taken place. The document that David and I would have seen that, and indeed it was presented to him, I think, by Friends of Innes Hospital and Angela Coll. That's there. We need to reflect on it. But until we build capacity beyond the doors, we're kidding ourselves. It has to be a safe environment. Okay. And I think that echoes true from the inquiry we had in David Johnson's set.
I understand.
Hospital must be a safe place to go to.
We have to leave it there for the moment, and thank you all very much for joining us. That's Cathal Crowe, David Cullinan and Marie McMahon.